This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
The great news is those channel choices are there for, you know, for you as to whichever topic or whichever option suits you best. I think with our new Have Us Call You service, you know, when you actually choose that, you request a callback, we'll let you know when you should expect that call and you can carry on with your activities, you know. And the great news, I think, is once we get through to you and we know a little bit about you, you know, we know why you're contacting us, you don't have a lengthy authentication or identification process. We're able to get right to solving your issue.
If you haven't received a notification yet, you don't need to take any action right now. If you have, you'll need to do so by the communicated deadline. So sellers who miss the registration deadline will not be able to create new listings until they do register.
We have a trained therapist that works for us in our non-for-profit. So we use animal therapies, and it's for disabled children. It's for adults that suffer mental illness, but it's also for people that are lonely. We find, especially with people that suffer from things like dementia, the animals have a fantastic therapeutic effect. And we have examples of people that don't speak generally. When you bring the animals out, they start conversing and talking, and the carers that are with them. We had one carer that said they'd worked with in a care home for 18 months and only ever heard this person speak once or twice.
I'm Brian Burke.
And I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is, hold on, drumroll please, this is episode 100. Our first major podcast odometer moment has happened, Brian.
Congrats, Griff. That is a great milestone. I know you downplay it a little bit internally, but I think it's a huge milestone and you should feel great.
I do. I really enjoy doing this, and I know that you do too, especially when I have to ask you to redo a recording because I messed up, which now this will make the second time. Thank you, Brian.
Anytime.
But it's a learning experience for all of us, and I would highly recommend it for anyone who's interested in getting their voice out there on a topic. You should do a podcast. It's actually a lot of fun.
You know, one of the things that I like about this is we get real-time feedback. Now, sometimes we get questions, and some weeks we don't, but we get feedback from users just by looking at how many people are downloading. And, you know, when we look at the data and say, hey, what's how many downloads? And the nice thing is, we continue to grow the number of downloads year over year and week over week. So you must be doing something right.
Well, no, we, because I couldn't do this and I wouldn't do this alone.
And it is truly we. I mean, Rebecca, Liz, and there's been many other co-hosts like Alan and Audrey and others. So team effort.
My biggest nightmare is having to do this. I don't mind doing the behind scenes work that I do, but having to be the only person talking on this podcast, the very thought of it just makes me want to fall asleep in boredom. I just can't imagine why anyone would listen if we weren't having a conversation.
Well, and if I think about most like news shows or news talk shows, there's normally two people.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, of course. And so, I think those really work.
Yeah. No matter what the topics, politics, sports, or whatever.
Right. We kind of avoid those topics. We try to focus just on eBay and commerce because, boy, that's enough of a couple of topics right there to keep us busy for another 100, 200, 1,000 episodes.
So, Griff, enough about the show. Who are the lucky guests this week on episode 100? I bet you've got a seller, right?
Yeah, we do, Brian. Joining this week for the 100th episode is another seller from the UK. His name is Mike Dixon, and he sells under the user ID Huggle Pets. You can imagine what he sells. Not pets.
But not
maybe pet supplies. Anyway, Mike's going to share his story with us. It's a very interesting story.
I can't wait to hear that. And it's great to have someone from another country. They're always interesting. And so who else is joining this week?
We have two employee guests this week from customer support in our Dublin, Ireland office. Our good friend Hazel Mitchell will be here to provide some insight into the new contact support options that were introduced during the pandemic. And we'll get another update from the managed payments team, this time from Scott Hankel. He's the product marketing manager for managed payments, and he has an update for us.
And I scanned ahead a little in the script here, and I see there are a lot of questions from our sellers this week.
Yes, in fact, we have three plus, I believe, a semi-question, so almost four.
So that's great news. And then something about a contest. I think you and Rebecca hatched something last week.
Yes. I'm sorry you weren't here, Brian, but in your absence, we launched a contest to help relieve us of some of the podcast swag that's still sitting up on the third floor in the campus in boxes. We asked for listeners to email or call in with their favorite memorable podcast from the last 2 years. We said at the time, We'd take the first 10 sellers who emailed or called in with their submissions, and those 10 would receive a package of eBay for Business podcast swag.
And I'm sure you got more than 10 submissions. How many did you get?
Two.
Two? That's horrible. Just two?
Yeah.
I go away for 2 weeks and all hell breaks loose, Griff.
Yeah.
So why do you think only two sellers sent in anything?
I'm not sure, Brian, but in my defense, I suspect it was our lack of any marketing campaign, or maybe the fact that we announced it at the end of the last episode and we only left 3 days for sellers to submit their favorite moment.
Yeah, I think both of those would explain the paucity of participation. You really should extend the contest another week.
What a great idea. Consider it done. So, sellers, you have another week to call in or email your favorite podcast moment from the last 2 years or 100 episodes.
And please, let's get 8, because I don't want to have to say paucity ever again.
Why? It was a great alliteration. The paucity of participation. Lots of plosives there.
And remember, when you do enter, and my hope is we'll get more than 10, it could be a bit of advice from a guest that helped you boost your sales or run your business more efficiently.
Yeah, or it could have been a really funny moment, something I might have said that made you guffaw.
Really? You want to go there?
Yeah.
Probably not a great idea. We might get more than 10.
Or less than none. So call us at 888-723-4630 or email podcast@ebay.com with your favorite moment from the eBay for Business podcast. And if you are one of the next 8, because the first 2 slots of 10 are now filled, thank you, you 2 diehard fans, you, we'll send you a bucket of podcast swag.
A whole bucket. And now, a managed payments update. I'm looking forward to this one.
By the way, were you insinuating that I don't have a sense of humor?
No comment.
One of the biggest projects that eBay has ever undertaken is about to go into full steam, and that's managed payments. Now, if you've been listening to the podcast or watching the news on eBay, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This is our transition to eBay managing payments for the first time ever in its 25 years. We're all very excited about it, and we're entering the home stretch. And we have a little bit of news and update to tell you, and rather than have me tell you, we're bringing on Scott Henkel. Scott is the product marketing manager for Managed Payments, and he joins us now from San Jose to share some news with us. Welcome, Scott.
Hey, thanks, Griff. Sellers, unless you've been under a rock, and most of you probably haven't if you're listening to this podcast, you probably heard by now that we're managing payments for most sellers by the end of this year, 2020. Managing payments is really critical to our transformation. It allows us to streamline your processes, and really it offers buyers a lot more ways to pay. So rather than just PayPal, we'll be offering PayPal, PayPal Credit, Apple Pay, Google Pay, credit cards, debit cards. So, you know, we're expecting a lot more buyers to be converting as a result of that. We've been managing payments since 2018, and we've notified a lot of you already to register for managed payments. At this time, we're only notifying sellers to register if we can support their businesses with managed payments. And if you haven't received a notification yet, you don't need to take any action right now. If you have, you'll need to do so by the communicated deadline. So sellers who miss the registration deadline will not be able to create new listings until they do register. So if you were asked to register by the 15th of July, you'll need to make sure you've done it or that you do so ASAP. It's a simple process to register, just a few steps. So all you need to do is visit ebay.com/start-payments, follow the instructions.
Yeah, and I can verify, having gone through the process, received my deadline email about a month ago, and I've completed the process 2 weeks ago. It was really easy. I was really happy how easy it was. Now, I had pre-set up, Scott, I knew it was coming, so I had opened a special checking account that I'm going to use only for the proceeds for my eBay sales. But that was done. I entered the information, went smooth as silk.
That's great. Yeah, a lot of sellers may want to consider opening a separate checking account specifically for their eBay proceeds. It's not required. You can actually use any checking account. But once you've completed registering, including adding your banking information, you just keep listing and selling as usual. We might reach out to you again to provide additional information or verify information that you've given us already. But we'll notify you after that of your activation date about 2 weeks in advance, and then about 2 days in advance, 48 hours in advance, we'll give you the specific date of your change. And then once you've completed registration. And once we've activated you, we'll send you a confirmation email.
And then you're in and business goes on as usual. Everyone I know who's been in managed payments just loves it. I'm looking forward to getting my email saying I've got 2 days and I'm going to be in. Whoopee. I can't wait.
Look at your inbox. It's coming.
I'm looking every day. Scott, it's great for you to come by and give us this update. And maybe you can come on again and keep us filled in on how the transition is going as we approach the end of the year.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Thanks.
Scott Hankel is the product marketing manager for Managed Payments. We were talking about the latest updates. Keep your eye open in your email for your invitation so you know what to do. The instructions are in the email. Make sure that you do it in time so you're ready for a smooth transition from the old way of doing payments to the brand new way of doing them, managed payments on eBay. If you're a seller, you've probably called or contacted customer support at eBay before, and maybe you were very used to using the phone support, for example, pre-COVID, by the way, for telephone support to get to customer support at eBay. Of course, things have changed on all fronts when it comes to the pandemic, including customer support and how you reach them. We're reaching out today to the Senior Director of UK and North America Customer Support, or the acronym we use, so you're in the know, GCX, Hazel Mitchell. Hazel, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Give us a little bit about your role with customer support. What is it that you support and what you do?
Absolutely. So I lead the customer service teams for our North America and our UK customers. So essentially, we provide customer service for any of our customers, buyers, sellers, etc., across those markets.
And how long have you been with eBay?
I've been with eBay for over 16 years. I joined in 2004 when we were just setting up our Dublin office to support our UK marketplace. And thankfully and luckily, I've had the opportunity to grow my career with eBay and really the great opportunity to support North America customers over the last couple of months.
How big is the team that you oversee?
Well, we have thousands of teammates across the globe to support our customers for UK and North America. And my job is to ensure that we do that in a way that's really effective and that we provide great customer experiences and we're there when you need us.
What was the impact of the pandemic on phone support for customer support?
Like many companies, COVID presented some very significant challenges to how we operate at eBay. It was very important for us to ensure that we were able to get our teammates and our employees home where they could isolate and be safe with their family and loved ones. And it was also vital that we were able to maintain our support for customers who really were depending on us to keep their business open through the pandemic, and obviously our buyers who wanted to be able to continue to buy much needed supplies, etc. So we had to move really quickly, Griff, to ensure that we were able to move the thousands of teammates that we have across the globe, that we were able to get them to home, to working in a safe and secure way. An enormous change for many of our teammates. And honestly, it was a truly global effort. I think people worked, and leaders and the teams, all of the support teams, they essentially worked around the clock. And within a couple of days, we were able to move everyone home, set them up securely, and ensure they were ready and back online to serve our customers. It was phenomenal. And I think the one thing that really shone for me, and maybe it's shone through the whole pandemic, is how people really jumped to help and to support. And really, if it wasn't for our teammates and the passion that they showed for our customers and the passion they showed for our community, I don't think we would have been able to pull it off as well as we did. But within a couple of days, we were back up and running. We did have to reimagine. We had to reimagine what did service look like in the face of that. And for the first few days, we weren't able to offer live support. We moved to email until we got everyone up and running. But very, very quickly, we were able to bring back on support from a phone perspective. And we launched a Have Us Call You phone model. And we also had the great opportunity to launch chat, which was very new to some of our North America customers. So, you know, a real opportunity to rethink about how we support our customers and how we can ensure we're there when they need us most.
And we saw a lot of sellers who were concerned because they were used to just going to the help and contact link and then calling eBay. How did that process change?
Well, the model is different. And instead of calling that phone number directly, you do start online. You know, you'll start online, you log in, you go to our help pages, pick a topic, and the contact options are at the bottom of our help pages. Or if you choose, you can go to our seller help, which is a great one-stop portal that we launched last year. It's a great portal. It's there to design to help you manage and to grow your business in a really seamless way. And, you know, we do our best to limit any friction in that space. There's a very easy path to speak to customer service agents if you need it. So we would ask that, you know, that you start online and that you know, we have hugely improved self-service options there. We have, over the last number of years, we've been very proud of the changes that we've made in self-service. We've reimagined it completely. We've rewritten every word. We've made it more intuitive. There you can get support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But if you cannot find the answer there, then we are there for you. We, you know, go to the bottom of the help pages. There will be contact options. Either have us call you or chat or email, whichever is your preference, and we'll ensure that we get you up and running and get your query answered as quickly as possible.
But I love the chat option because it lets me continue working while we're actually having a conversation. So as a seller, I can always find one of those options when I'm in the customer support page.
The great news is those channel choices are there for, you know, for you as to whichever topic or whichever option suits you best. I think with our new Have Us Call You service, you know, when you actually choose that, you request a callback, we'll let you know when you should expect that call and you can carry on with your activities, you know. And the great news, I think, is once we get through to you and we know a little bit about you, you know, we know why you're contacting us, you don't have a lengthy authentication or identification process. We're able to get right to solving your issue. So that is working really well. I think customers who are using it are finding it to be very beneficial.
What happens after the pandemic, hopefully someday, is over and all of the reps are now back working in the office? Will we be reverting back to the old models, or is this something that is now permanent?
COVID-19 has certainly paved the way for us to reimagine service and our approach to service. It's been an extraordinary opportunity, whether we liked it or not, I think, to adapt and learn how to do things in a new and different way. The one thing I would say is we've always been testing. We've always been looking at different opportunities to ensure that we can provide the very best of service. And we're very committed to innovating and identifying those best ways to support our customers. As we go forward, I think, you know, we don't know what the future will hold. But no, I think that, you know, we do want to ensure that we provide the very best options. And we believe that starting on eBay is really a huge opportunity as we go forward. Customers can, as I say, find the information or answers they need with our self-service digital experiences. We're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if you cannot find the answer there, then know there are thousands of teammates ready to support you through chat or have us call you. We're here for you as we always have been.
Hazel, I want to thank you so much for your dedication to service. It's a testament to customer support's continued mission to make sure that our sellers and our buyers are supported fully on eBay. And hopefully we can speak with you again in the future about customer support as it continues to evolve.
I would truly love that. Thanks a million.
We've been speaking with Hazel Mitchell. She's the Senior Director of UK and North America Customer Service, otherwise known as GCX, at eBay, about how COVID has changed the customer support models on eBay for the better.
Continuing with our mini-series of seller stories, there's 25 in total that we'll be doing during the rest of the year. We're going to speak with our next seller who was selected. He is also from the UK. You might think that we're indexing heavily towards Britain, but it's just how these were selected. And a lot of great stories came in from our sellers from the UK, and we're thankful for that. Join me now in welcoming our next seller whose story was selected. His name is Mike Dixon. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how you doing?
Great. How is life there in the United Kingdom for you during this unusual time?
We're doing okay. Yeah, we're not too bad, thank you.
That's good to hear. Can you tell us a little bit about your business on eBay currently? First, let's start with your user ID, because our listeners love to look up a seller and see what they're selling.
Yeah, it's Huggle Pets, which is just one word. And we came up with that name a few years ago when we were trying to think of a nice snappy name that people could just find. And we were banding about loads and loads of different ideas. And my son actually walked up to me, and he was about two at the time, said, "Dad, can I have a Huggle?" which is half a hug, half a cuddle, that he made up. And I was like, that's it, Huggle Pets. That's a great name. So, the intellectual property of our business is literally from my two-year-old son at the time, yeah.
Well, I hope someday in the future he doesn't try to grab that intellectual property back from you.
Well, when he's big enough and strong enough, he can have it, that's fine.
So again, that's Huggle Pets, H-U-G-G-L-E, Pets.
Yeah, all one word.
So if you're looking on eBay right now, you want to check out what it is that Mike sells. In the meantime, I can't check it out. I have to ask him, Mike, what is it that you sell?
Well, as you can imagine, it's everything for every sort of pet. So small furry animals, cats, dogs, reptiles, aquatics, outdoor pond fish. We kind of cater for anything and everything. And then even a little bit of wildlife stuff. So things for like bees and butterflies and things like that.
How did you get interested in this? What started you on this?
we started this seriously about 7 or 8 years ago, and I've always had a keen interest in nature, wildlife, animals. And we initially started bringing in products that were just like dog crates and dog kennels and chicken coops. And we were actually selling those B2B, so business to business. And then we actually put them onto eBay as one of the very first sort of pathways onto online selling. And we literally developed our business from about 10 different lines. And now we have tens of thousands of different products that we hold at any one time.
You obviously have an interest in pets, I'm assuming.
Well, this is the thing. I'm surrounded by them in the store at work. But actually at home, I just have a fish tank and I have a dog, a Siberian Husky. She's 11, called Skye. Yeah, even though she's an old girl, she's still very active and tires me out.
What's her name again?
Skye.
Skye.
Yeah, S-K-Y-E.
So you don't, at home, you don't have very many pets, but you say you're surrounded by them at work. Do you have more?
Yeah.
I mean, is there an aspect of your business that actually involves live animals?
Yeah. So we have a bricks and mortar pet store and we have all kinds of different animals in store. We've got over 220 different aquarium tanks. So we've got thousands of cold water and tropical fish. We have things like guinea pigs, rabbits, hamsters, budgies. Then on the reptile side, we have like spiders, millipedes, snakes, bearded dragons, water dragons, or chameleons, all those kind of things.
What's the most popular spider that you sell?
We have a lot of people like a Mexican red knee spider. It's quite a common spider that we have in the UK in pet stores. And that's always quite popular because they're nice bold colours and they're quite placid to handle.
Are they very large?
Yeah, they can fill the palm of an adult's hand. Yeah, so they're a reasonable size.
So half of our listeners are just about ready to shut down. People who are scared of spiders. I love spiders. I've been fascinated by them all my life. And I think people have misconceptions about a lot of wildlife, including spiders, that they're somehow vicious or, you know, they're out to attack humans. And that's not true, is it?
No, yeah. A lot of them are very placid, especially most of all of the animals that we have are sort of raised in captivity. They're not caught from the wild. So they're normally very placid. And with reptiles and spiders and even guinea pigs and rabbits, they're generally only skittish if they get spooked. So if something upsets them or catches them unaware, that's the only time that there's any sort of issue.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's some breeds of animals and spiders and everything that are just generally sort of a bit crazier, but we don't tend to stock those, to be fair.
Well, it sounds like a very interesting store. How has business been during the pandemic? Has the pandemic impacted your business and your brick and mortar, either positively or negatively?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a huge change because in the UK, it was about mid-March where restrictions and things came into place in the lockdown. And we took the decision that time when those restrictions came in, even though we were exempt from shutting our store because of the type of thing that we do, because the specialist animal feeds and medicines, we decided to shut the store to a sort of click and collect style service. So people could still come, but they kind of had to know exactly what they wanted. There was no browsing around store. And obviously that has an impact because people, when they browse, they find other items they want. So it was just sort of we were providing more of a service of getting people their essentials that they needed. Online obviously was very busy because when people couldn't go to store or they couldn't go into the local supermarket and pick up their dog food, they were ordering it online. So that was really, really busy. And obviously eBay was a big part of that. We had to change things around. We had some store staff working in our warehouse. We had to change the style of our warehouse around so we could have social distancing and keep everyone safe. But quite proud to say that we didn't have anyone going without work. We didn't have to furlough anyone, which is a phrase that I don't know about you guys and your side of the pond are using, but everyone seems to be using it in the UK.
It's here we say layoff.
Okay, yeah.
I've always furlough sounds nicer.
Yeah, it rolls off the tongue. But yeah, so some of our office staff, we could sort them out to work remotely. So that was beginning. But from June the 1st, everyone came back. And a lot of people wanted to come back because the novelty of working at home wore off a little and they wanted to be around the team again because our team is a family business. So everyone is treated like family. People miss that environment a little bit. So we managed to put everything in place and everyone's safe and well. And now everyone's back. Yeah. So it has been challenging, but interesting.
But most of our listeners know that when I'm talking to someone like you in the UK, I'm using Zoom. It's our technology.
Yeah.
Do you guys in your business, do you all communicate via Zoom or another technology as well?
Yeah. So generally when the staff have had to be working from home, we've used Zoom, we've used Skype,
yeah.
We've used WhatsApp. We use a lot of WhatsApp. So yeah, it's all these technologies have come into place.
How many employees does your business have, Mike?
17.
So it's not a small enterprise. It's actually, that's pretty big business, especially for online. You have a warehouse, obviously, where you store everything.
Yeah.
And how many listings do you have up on eBay at any given time?
I think we're just over 1,800 listings. And I think that because of obviously variation listings, I think that's up to 6,000-7,000 different products.
Yeah, because these are SKU products, so that one listing
exactly,
can get exactly.
Yeah.
What's your most popular product right now?
There's massive swings. I mean, the amount of people actually purchasing new pets in lockdown has been phenomenal to see. So the pet housing and the pet accessories has been really big.
Yeah.
Right at the start of the pandemic, it was huge amounts of food. I think everyone panicked, and then everyone's now sitting on about 3 months' supply of food. So everyone's all right for food now. But yeah, I think the pet housing, new pets, anything to do with getting a new pet seems to have really been a big seller for us.
One of the things that I always ask a seller is where their passion for what they're doing, how that connects to their business. Is there an interest outside of just your business that helps connect your business with something that else you're passionate with? Maybe that's a charity, for example.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, 2018, we set up a non-for-profit called Hugger Pets in the Community. And what we do with that is use animals to make people's lives better. We have a trained therapist that works for us in our non-for-profit. So we use animal therapies, and it's for disabled children. It's for adults that suffer mental illness, but it's also for people that are lonely. So we have something called tea with a twist. It's a very British thing, but it's basically tea and cake. And then residents of care homes and care centres, retired individuals, they can come in. They can just have an hour or so with us. We get the animals out. They can meet things they've never seen. And we find, especially with people that suffer from things like dementia, the animals have a fantastic therapeutic effect. And we have examples of people that don't speak generally. They suffer the sort of very sort of inside their shell. When you bring the animals out, they start conversing and talking, and the carers that are with them are like, well, this is amazing. Because we had one carer that said they'd worked with in a care home for 18 months and only ever heard this person speak once or twice. And they were having a full-blown conversation about pets that they'd had 40, 50 years previous.
Oh, wow.
So it has a brilliant impact. Last year, we crowdfunded for a sensory center. So all specialist equipment for children with sensory needs and disabilities, and a community aquarium. And the community aquarium was specifically designed to help children with autism and sensory issues. So all the colours in there are designed for a calming effect. What we do with that is it's free to use for everyone as long as the store's open. So when our store is open, that section is free to use. So if someone's having a bad day, they haven't got to come to our store and buy anything. They can just walk around that section if they want to for an hour, 2 hours, whatever they need to do to make themselves or their children or their family member feel better. Our sensory activity center is obviously used by groups of people. We do different classes, but they can also rent it for themselves because obviously the technology and the equipment in there needs to be used in the correct way for people to get benefit from it. Our local community, connected animals and connected people that need and want help, altogether to have a positive impact.
Do you find that people in, for example, maybe an autistic child or an older person with dementia gets really connected or attached to one particular animal or pet?
Yeah.
And what happens in that situation? Do they end up, do they go home with the pet or how does that work?
Well, it's really, really interesting to see what people connect to. Some people adore reptiles and some people run screaming from reptiles. But we've got a chameleon, panther chameleon called Rusty. And he's a resident. We've got animals at our store that are residents that are used for the therapy.
Sure.
And Rusty always has an impact because he's bright red, he's got greens, he's got blues. And some children are just utterly fascinated by him. And again, the great thing is if they want to come back with mum and dad at any time and just see him outside of what the school might sort out, they can just come and see him and say hello. And we try and do feeding sessions with them, obviously when the animal needs feeding so the children can interact. But it's amazing to see different animals just seem to trigger things in different people. And I'm sure there's a very smart person somewhere that can explain the science behind that. But we just tend to see different animals having different effects. And it really is sort of heartwarming to see it.
Now, are the effects just, do they last? So if, for example, a child who may be within their own autistic shell, when they sort of start to come out of their shell, when they're connecting with a pet or an animal, does that effect last beyond just that initial contact? These improvements or these changes in the child's behavior, for example, are not just temporary. Do they last?
I'm not a doctor or scientist, but what we tend to see is it has some lasting effect because we've been sent pictures after children have been in with animals of those animals. So it's clearly resonated with them to the fact that they've enjoyed it so much that they've gone and drawn a picture and coloured a photo, a picture to send it back to us to say sort of as a thank you. So I suppose from that point, yeah, it is lasting. It is having a longer, deeper impact on them. But I mean, therapy animals, it's well documented. They have a fantastic effect on people. I mean, I know that dogs especially are a big part of companionship. And I think we all kind of expect dogs as service dogs in one way or another, whether it be, you know, a guide dog or a police dog or a fire dog. But I suppose these other animals that are not conventionally used seem to have a really interesting effect. So I think it does have an impact on children. And I think even if it's just for that 1 hour session, it brightens their day and it's something they can reflect back on and enjoy.
Yeah, it's an amazing connection to see. I know I've seen it myself in my own life. I can't imagine life without my dogs. I always have at least two. And they're my constant companions, except when I'm recording because they tend to bark. We keep them in another room.
Yeah.
What does the future look like for your business, or what are your hopes for the business in this coming year? Because everything is so uncertain right now. It seems like you found a groove, at least with supplying people their things online. But every business wants to, I'm assuming your business is the same, wants to have a plan out for growth and for even if it's just sustainability. What are you hoping for? What are you planning for the rest of the year and beyond?
Well, I think for us, we've always invested in the infrastructure of our business and the people. So because of that, we're on a solid footing. And now we can replicate the things that we have been doing, which have shown growth for us to enable us to grow even further. So whether that just be the same business model that we have, but with more products or to more areas or to more regions, we've got a pretty solid business plan in place on the business side to allow us to keep growing steadily, which we have done for the last 7 years.
Has the pandemic severely impacted in any way your supply chain for sourcing product?
Yeah, I mean, because a lot of the products we import ourselves, and obviously that gets manufactured all over the world. But as we all know, China is a big manufacturer of a lot of products.
Sure.
So we were fortunate enough that we had a lot of product on hand, and we've got some reasonably large warehousing facilities that we hold our products in. So we had enough. But what we have also noticed, UK and European suppliers that we also purchased from, in their supply chain, they had issues. So we've noticed a lag of that. But in terms of that, I suppose if everyone's in the same boat, people look for different products. You might want a certain brand, but if that's not available and you need a product, you go and get something else. So yeah, I'd say about 20% of our suppliers have had issues, but it doesn't mean that some version of a type of product hasn't been available for people that needed it.
Every single niche and category on eBay is usually not dominated just by one person. There's always competition. What's the competition like in your particular field? And does that impact how you make business decisions?
Yeah, there's a hell of a lot of competition, but I always see that as a positive thing. We really strive for great service. And I mean, our current eBay feedback score is 100%. I think we've got over 150,000 feedback on eBay. We always just do the right things as far as we see them. And we've got competitors that could have been viewed as bigger than us that are no longer around. And we've got probably people that are smaller than us that are on the way up. And I suppose this pandemic, if anything, will put more businesses online. So in theory, more competition. Certainly not something that as a business we're scared of, because again, we know what we're doing and we're doing things in the right way. So a lot of our customers are happy with what we do and then hopefully come back to eBay and look for Huggle Pets to buy their next product from.
Yeah, so you have a lot of repeat customers, I'm assuming.
Yeah, we do, yeah.
How do you keep those customers beyond just, you know, reminding them that you're still selling on eBay? Other marketplaces, it's which shall go nameless, it's a little easier for a buyer to say, I want to buy that same product again. On eBay, because of the large selection of sellers and product, it's always not that easy. What do you do to make sure that customers come back to you first when they're going to restock, for example?
Well, if they've purchased from us before, obviously in search, if they search for a particular product, they could see everything. But I think a lot of our customers find us from products that they've in their purchase history.
Yeah.
So our adverts are generally a long-term thing. We don't put an advert on, then pull it down, then do a new advert and pull it down. We put an advert on there for longevity so people can come back and find it. And I suppose outside of that, we try and keep, I suppose, our eBay branding and our advertisements consistent. Sure. So people can identify which one of our adverts.
That's an important tip, by the way. And we've never really mentioned this on the podcast, that if you do have a skewed product, and you're going to continue to have it, it's really important to keep that same listing up and not let it go out of stock and then start a new listing with a different item number, because people won't see it in their purchase history as easily.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if you fish a listing and create a new listing, there's a short period of time where that listing will get a little bit of help in the search results in terms of it's new and it's relevant.
Yeah.
But yeah, you want people to, if someone, especially if it's a consumable product like a dog food or say a flea treatment, you want them to keep coming back. So having that advert there long standing can only be a benefit.
Yeah, I know. I'm just thinking of myself as a buyer. There's a particular pet product I buy. It's for eliminating pet smells on orders in rugs and carpets. Yeah. It's got a weird name. It's called Anti-Icky Poo, which is really the worst name you could put. But it's not that forgettable. But the one seller who I was buying it from was consistently starting a new listing, and I'd have to go and search for it all over to make sure I was buying it from them. So I should remind them that they need to keep that listing up. Mike, if you were, if you have this opportunity right now, and you're speaking to a wide seller audience who's interested in your story and your success, if one of these sellers was to ask you, what would be your advice to me if my business is not doing as well as it should be? Mike Dixon, what would you suggest that I do to help my business?
I think if you're on eBay, be consistent in learning how to create your listings. Bear in mind that eBay are there to make you a success, because unless you're a success, they're not a success. You're all on the same team. So go and look at the tutorials, look at the listing videos, do everything you should be doing. Don't go for dodgy quick win tactics, because it doesn't work. You might have a couple of good weeks, but there's no longevity to it. So put some effort into your listings. And I suppose that is the key point. Do everything right and learn how to do things and take time to learn. If you spend a day a month learning, the other 29 days will be more productive than if you didn't know that information the first time.
And of course, one of the great tools for learning is listening to this podcast. So thank you for that plug.
No problem.
Mike, it's been a pleasure. Really, a very interesting business. I think that the idea of pets and the idea of animals for helping with therapy for people who need it is one that will resonate with a lot of our sellers. So I thank you for coming on and sharing your story, and continued success. And
thank you very much.
We'd love to check in with our sellers who've been on the podcast maybe 6 months later and see how they're doing. Would you mind if we contacted you and had you back on?
No, it's been an absolute pleasure. I'd look forward to it.
Mike Dixon sells on eBay under the user ID Huggle Pets. That's H-U-G-G-L-E Pets. And as you know, he sells pet supplies, or even beyond that, just animal supplies as well. So check it out. Mike, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
You've got questions.
We got answers.
I hope we have the answers this week, Brian. By the way, did I tell you welcome back to the show? I don't think I did.
Didn't. You're just taking
it. So welcome back, Brian. How was your vacation, Brian?
It was wonderful. It was a much-needed break. Did a lot of hiking.
Oh, good for you. Okay, so back to the grindstone here.
Yep.
We got some questions this week. In fact, we actually have, for the first time, we had four questions, but I can only have space for three, so we'll use the fourth question next week, which is not a bad thing.
No, it's good.
We want to thank those people who are starting to send questions in. I can't tell you enough how much we appreciate it. We especially love it if you call us at 888-723-4630. But if you're a shy person, you can always do what, Brian?
You can email your questions to podcast@ebay.com.
Though we do prefer phone calls, don't we?
Though we do prefer phone calls. Your voice is much more authentic and interesting than either of our voices. Boy, isn't that the truth. So what's our first question, Griff?
Well, our first question was indeed mailed to podcast@ebay.com by an obviously shy person. And he says, he didn't leave his name, by the way. Hello, Griff. Love the podcast. I miss Audrey being on there. Okay. You two had the best chemistry. What about Brian? Just watched a video of you, Griff. I'm not making this up. This is what he wrote. I imagined you as a younger guy with brown hair. You have this youthful voice. You still look very debonair. Well, so
you
there
do.
You are.
I will agree with him.
All right. Yeah, I think debonair is another way of saying spry. Anyway, he says, no time for foolishness. I do have a question. Using the variations, I always have trouble trying to use this. I sell supplements. How do you add two of the same item but different sizes? Then also add different expire dates. So that's what he wrote. He didn't sign this.
And that's a pretty easy one.
Yes and no, because it is actually pretty easy to set up a listing for different sizes of the same item, like a supplement. But once you start adding in something like different expiration dates for this particular item, it can get really complex pretty quickly. The seller did mention he only has two sizes, so that's pretty simple. But he didn't mention how many different expiration dates he has. And we could give him the advice now, but I'd be really curious to know that, how many he has. If you've got like 10 different expiration dates, this is just going to make it really complex for the buyer.
Yeah, you know, maybe he just has two. But the other thing is, expiration dates can make a huge difference for a buyer as, you know, for value. If something's about ready to expire versus it's basically at the beginning of its length. And there are different types of expiration dates. It's conceivable the seller could list them as separate variations, but I suspect the different sizes and different expiration dates do not necessarily align.
Right, and he'd have to know exactly how much he has of each one, and because you have to put the quantity for each variation, and it just gets really complex. So here's what I've done is I've said, let's put this particular question on the back burner, and I'm going to ask the seller to tell us exactly how many of each size and different expiration dates he has. Then we might be able to better provide the right advice, because if he's only has like two expiration dates, well, that's not going to be that difficult to do. If you think about two sizes and two expiration dates, you're going to have possibly four variations, right?
Right.
And you can put a different price, a different picture on each one, and you can, a different quantity. But if he's got a lot of these, then we're going to have to advise him to do something else. So, well, I'm going to get some more information.
So a holdover question then. Maybe we come back to it next week.
Yeah, it's like a serial question, you know, that comes back every week. Will Griffin Bryan get the necessary information from the seller in time? Tune in next week for the exciting answer to The Mystery of the Multivariation Solution. All right, I'm done. Why don't you read the next question, Brian?
I've maybe been watching too many movies during quarantine, Griff. Anyway, our next question is from eBay seller Liz, store name Sobo Squad. And Liz asks, hello, I hope you are doing well today. I listen to your podcast weekly and finally have a question that I cannot find an answer to. It's regarding returns. Does it matter how a customer puts a return in if I offer free returns? For instance, if a customer puts in a return saying it doesn't fit him, but labels the return as item not as described, does the store get hit with a negative return? I have been just allowing customers to put all returns down as item not as described, since I offer free returns on most of my items. However, it has been brought to my attention that this may be negatively affecting my return rate. When and how should I be disputing these if I offer free returns? Do I contact eBay support and advise them to correct the category after I give the customer their money back? Or should I keep the case open until the return is put in the correct category? Thank you, Liz, store name Sobo Squad.
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's one that really resonates with me since I have a current similar situation with my own return metrics as it relates to fragrances. I have a lot of people in the last couple months who they're buying an old fragrance from me, and they say, this doesn't smell like I thought it would, I'm returning it, and they select item not as described. Or they'll say, one guy said, I pushed the sprayer and it doesn't work. And he sent it back to me. He said, item defective. I get the item back and it works just fine. So those are all going to count as returns. And the thing is that every return reason will impact that metric. So it doesn't matter what return reason they give.
A return's a return.
Two important points here. Never encourage or coach a buyer as to the reason they should select for a return. Just let them select it. And the second point is, instead of worrying about this metric, because what it is, if you go, you can see it. So Liz, if you go to your seller hub and look under the performance tab, there's something called service metrics. And if you click on that, you'll see your return rate for category. And if you don't have a very high return rate in comparison with your peers in that category, then you shouldn't see anything. However, if you have a category where your return rate is trending higher than the average for that category, you may see a little like thermometer, and it may say green, yellow, orange, red. And as it gets up towards the red, there's a warning. And you'll also get an email, by the way, that'll warn you about this. As you're getting closer to the red, it says if it gets to the red, you may, there may be mitigating circumstances. You may end up having to pay higher final value fees for that particular category. My second point is, if you do get a high return rate in that category, you don't want to be coaching buyers to change their reason to something that's, you know, buyer remorse. You don't want to be holding the case up and then contacting customer support and saying, I need you to change this category of the reason why they've selected. Customer support is never going to change the reason. They're never going to do it. That is a buyer subjective reason. The thing you want to focus on is, why is your return rate in that category so high? And then look for ways to reduce it moving forward so that you don't get into that trench of having to pay extra higher final value fees. I don't know how much higher they are. I don't want to find out. So, you know, this one guy, what had happened was the sprayer wasn't broken. It's just you had to pump it about 5 or 6 times till it was primed again. When the package was in the mail, it was probably sitting in such a way so that in that little plastic tube that goes up to the sprayer, all of the liquid fell out of it, right? So you're going to have to, you may press it 5 or 10 times to get it primed. He pushed it once and said, doesn't work, shipped it back. And I immediately sold it, and the guy's really happy who bought it. But so what does that tell me? I need to alert buyers that if it's an old bottle, you may want to pump it a little bit to make sure it's primed. And that's what you'd have to do, Liz. Figure out what are the possible reasons for return rate, the returns that you're getting. If it's really high, if your return rate is around the average of the category, yeah, don't worry about it. But the only way you're going to know that is if you look at your service metrics in Seller Hub.
Yeah, and that's just a really important metric to track for all of our listeners. They should always be looking at that if they get any level of returns. So, yeah. Liz, hopefully that answered your question. And then, Griff, what about our next question?
So our third question isn't really a question, it's more of a suggestion, but I liked it so much, even though it's a suggestion, they did ask it as a question, so I think it qualifies. So this seller asked, again, they didn't sign this, and I didn't want to use their email address. They asked, hello, is there any way or is it in the plans to have both the custom label and promoted status showing when you are within an offer? This would make it much easier to not only identify the product when using custom labels, but also give us a good idea of what we can do for an offer if we knew if it was promoted or not. And I'm assuming they do the same thing I do with the custom labels. They put the cost that they paid for the item. So they said, thank you.
Yes, a lot of sellers do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Griff, I'm not aware of any plans for adding these two features into the Make an Offer page, but we certainly will forward the suggestion. I think it's a good one. Was forward this to the team that manages the best offer feature for their consideration. And our last question of the episode?
Well, our last submission isn't a question, but I wanted to read it out loud because, well, you'll see why. The seller emailed us with the following. Hi, my name is Terry, and along with my wife, Sandy, we have the Store Lighthouse Treasure Pickers on eBay. By the way, you know who my mentor is, my muse when I'm reading these questions?
Who?
Remember Casey Kasem when he would read the dedication sometime, right? I loved him doing those. This isn't a question, but a comment about eBay. We've been retired for 14 years and are now 76 years old. We were beginning to outlive our savings. And although we have enough income to be comfortable, we were limited on the extra things like going out for dinners, cruising, golf, travel, and all the extra fun that makes retirement worthwhile. To get extra income, I tried Uber, Lyft, Grubhub, DoorDash, and they did bring in income, but after the expenses, the wear and tear on my car, and the hours you had to put in, I found that it was just not worth it. 15 months ago, we decided to give eBay a chance. We went to some garage sales, bought a few items, put them up on eBay, and we were off and running. One of the best decisions we ever made after retirement, and the learning curve was not all that difficult. To give you an example, in June of this year, we sold almost $1,400 and have cleared over $725. They're not doing bad, by the way. That's really good.
No, that's really good.
Our best month was over $2,400 and we cleared almost $1,200. I don't know about anybody else, but that extra $700 plus a month sure provides us a lot of fun. So this is just our story. But to those who are listening but are not selling, it can be your story too. P.S., my wife and I have been married 58 years as of August 4th. We have 2 daughters, 7 grandchildren, and 10 great-grandchildren. Thanks, all of you, for the podcast. We really enjoy it.
I just first off want to say, Terry and Sandy, great story, but Congratulations, 58 years this coming August 4th. What a milestone.
And that's not chump change. That's a substantial
really
amount of money
well.
To use, yeah.
Like you said, $700 a month. I mean, who wouldn't mind that every month coming in?
Exactly. I'm looking out at my garage, and that's the first time I've been inspired in months to go out there and start listing more stuff. Thank you so much, Terry and Sandy.
I think I'm gonna copy and paste that in and hand it to all three of my children and say, oh, you want me to give you some money? Here, read this.
Go clean out Dad's closet. Well, anyway, Brian, that's all we have for this week. And as a reminder, due to the admittedly underwhelming response to our 100th episode contest, we've decided to extend the deadline for entering until Thursday, July 23rd. Remember, if you would like to win a bucket of eBay Business Podcast swag, and that's a figurative bucket. It's not actually a bucket. Although maybe we should buy some buckets.
We could do buckets.
We could do buckets. Let's do it. You just have to call in or email in your favorite moment, tip, story, or bit of advice from an episode over the past 2 years. It should be something that was memorable, something that may help to boost your business, something that really made a difference to the way you view how you sell on eBay and hopefully made you more successful. And if you're one of the first 8 sellers to submit your favorite moment, you will, along with the first 2 sellers who've already sent in theirs, thank you so much, you'll receive a collection of eBay for Business podcast swag. Just call us at 888-723-4630 or email us at podcast@ebay.com with your favorite eBay for Business podcast moment. And if you have a question, why not call it in at 888-723-4630? And of course, the best part, as I say every week, and I never get tired of saying it, you can call that hotline any time of the day, any day of the week. Just call it. Leave a question or a comment, and we just might put it on the air.
And if you're not a call-on-the-phone person, you can always email your question to us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
Yeah, it's a very friendly inbox, and we answer those questions. Don't forget, before we go, it's time for your daily podcast to-do list.
It is, so check the announcement board for up-to-date seller news.
Go visit the community pages, and as an addendum, remember, if you received your managed payment invitation, register now. Don't wait.
Check out the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to see the links we referenced during the episode.
Now, on our next episode, 101, we'll meet yet another seller, one many sellers know very well. She's an eBay celebrity in her own right. Betsy Bolger, a.k.a. eBetsy, will be here to talk to us about her story. And we'll have some excellent summer success advice for taking some time off during the summer while not entirely abandoning your eBay business.
We'd like to again thank our guest this week, Senior Manager of UK and North America Customer Support, Hazel Mitchell, Product Marketing Manager for Managed Payments, Scott Hankel, and eBay seller Mike Dixon of Hucklebets.
And we'll have all of the URLs we mentioned in the transcript. The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.